All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789 in Texas at that same number. You know, Sandy Williams is here. It's Monday. I'm glad he's here. You know, Sandy, what you just said, listen to what Volodymyr Zelensky said on yesterday. Since the unprovoked military invasion of Ukraine began February 24th. Unprovoked. So, it's, you know, help us understand. He says unprovoked.
Well, I mean, this whole festering sore of that has existed in the Donbas since 2014 has been the subject of essentially an information war ever since then. The Ukrainian version of it is that Russia has been meddling in the East Ukraine and has been stirring up trouble and has been essentially arming dissidents, Russian-speaking dissidents in that region, and has been essentially the source of military problems and deaths. The Russian version of that is that the Azov Battalion and the activity of neo-nationalists in that area has been harassing the many Russian-speaking people in that region, and that those Russian-speaking people have needed to defend themselves and their life and safety against the terrorist acts of, for instance, the Azov Battalion that exists there and operates there, and that they have been sending arms to them in support of their defense. And so they're suggesting that there essentially have been the nature of war crimes outside of war being committed against the Russian speakers there that needed their help. And that ultimately the invasion was the result of that process and the need to cure Ukraine of having this kind of Nazification, as they call. Now, is that an exaggeration? Undoubtedly. Are both sides somewhere off of the absolute truth? Undoubtedly. But the fact is that the Azov Battalion is very active, has been very active. In fact, the news media now points out that the Azov Battalion is the military group that's been defending Mariupol. And the Azov Battalion was, in fact, incorporated from being like the Posse Comitatus, sort of an outlaw group, into being part of the Ukrainian National Guard. And, you know, is there a strident neo-nationalist right-wing active in the Ukraine? Absolutely. Do they control the government of Ukraine? Undoubtedly not. Do they have sway there? They undoubtedly have some sway. Is that what Russia is talking about when they talk about denazification? I guess. So, you know, it all depends on what angle you look at the elephant. Some see the trunk and some see the tail.
So are we talking about that the Nazi aspect of this being a threat to Russian Jews in the Ukraine? Is that?
No, it isn't. This neo-nationalism is not aimed at Jews. It's aimed at Russians, okay? Russian-speaking. Because, you know, up until 2014, Ukrainians spoke Russian officially, but Ukrainian was a language that was spoken historically. And beginning in 2014, they decided that Ukrainian was to be the language used in all official capacities, and there became sort of an anti-Russian speaking movement in Ukraine to try and purify Ukrainians into being this national mode, much like the Quebec French rebellion. That was the seat of the problem, and the attention was being focused on those who were Russian leaning and Russian speaking.
So is that one of the reasons why Germany has basically, they know the inner workings of what's going on there, and they choose?
I'm confident that Europeans know much more about the inner workings of it, and certainly the German people, like the German government. But, you know, Germany and France get a very large percent. They have a lot of commerce with Russia. They have occasion, therefore, probably to try and understand what Russia's viewpoint is on things, which might moderate their view of exactly why and what Russia is doing. Russia's doing. And so, yeah, they've been more moderate, I think, until very recently, until the invasion. And I think they, however, did maybe understand the problems that were existing in eastern Ukraine.
So, you know, one of the reasons, Sandy, why I really wanted you to, you know, give us the backdrop on it is because, you know, in this country, I mean, this thing is not going away. I think some of us thought that maybe this would be, you know, going away soon. But it doesn't look like it's going away anytime soon. The impact that it's having and going to be having on our nation and in our economy, you know, we see snippets of it right now, but it's going to get pretty engaged. I mean, we're going to be feeling.
Well, it's another dark cloud in the perfect economic storm that we seem to be brewing. That's leading in the direction of a probable recession. Yes, and you know, will our government ever talk about a probable recession? No, because governments that predict recessions have a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? You've got to be optimistic all the way down the line. You've got to report that, and it's certainly important for the government to try and defeat the inflationary psychology that does create inflation. So the government's going to tell us inflation's going to be short-lived. They're going to take steps to try and demonstrate that they're willing to take steps to make it short-lived. But ultimately, the combination of inflation and shortages, which will exacerbate inflation, right? When things are short, the price gets bid up. And the recessionary impact of shortages and the recessionary impact of the war on the globe, you know, it apparently the Ukrainian economy is going to shrink by maybe 50% as a result, Russia by at least 11%. Russia's the 12th biggest economy. That's not going to tip the world, but Germany's going to have a probable recession based on shortages of energy and the issues. Europe has a recession. China's having problems because of COVID and then world trade generally. I mean, this is a potential perfect storm towards a recession, and you know, one that might be a little harder to climb out of, because normally we climb out of recessions by having big deficits and by using Federal Reserve policies but if we have a deep recession and we continue to have inflation, that's when it gets very hard to get out.
So Sandy, the recession that we know is coming, so at a time when, you know, there aren't people to work enough to cover most of these jobs, you may lose many businesses during this time, you know, unlike, you know, many other recessions. You always lose businesses, but this is more of an unpredictable one, right?
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting to me is we have this amazingly low unemployment level, or at least amazingly low unemployment claims
reported,
being made,
yeah,
and reported. But if we took a broad national survey to find out how many people thought they were living a prosperous life right now, I think we'd find out that there aren't many people who think they're sharing in the prosperity, and that there aren't many people who are confident of an ongoing prosperity. And another reason for a recession, incidentally, is consumer pessimism. Consumer optimism makes us buy things. Consumer pessimism makes us save money. And saving money is actually a recessionary sort of conduct.
We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. Sandy Williams is here. We'll be right back.